We pray. O Lord, give us humble hearts to submit to your will. Amen. We read this morning from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 20. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants to God. A number of years ago, it was the custom of a ILC professor to address the students here at chapel as pilgrim partners. It was also the way that Peter just addressed you in our text this morning. He called you sojourners and pilgrims. Do you think of yourself as a pilgrim? When I say pilgrim, I don't mean a man with a buckle on his hat and long white socks and a girl in a big black dress. Rather, talking about strangers. Exiles, aliens, that's what pilgrim actually means. That was the point that the professor was trying to make to the students those years ago, and that's also the point that Peter is making to us today, that we are strangers, aliens, exiles here on Earth. We humans, I think, tend to be pretty nostalgic creatures. We get attached to people, to places, animals, clothes, a certain spot in chapel where we like to sit. Maybe you like a certain coffee mug every morning, or only have a certain pen you like to use. It goes on and on. We get attached to all kinds of different things, even inanimate objects. But Peter's reminding us here that no matter how attached we get to the world, we can't take anything with us. In 1 Timothy, Paul wrote, "We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out." And this is what we need to remember as we're looking at our text today. This is what we need to keep in mind, that we're being addressed as sojourners and pilgrims. Now, I was driving to school last week when I was passed by a pickup truck that had a bumper sticker that said, "Hunt hard, shoot straight, and apologize to no one." Now, it got my attention because I'm a hunter and I like the first two parts of that bumper sticker. Hunt hard, shoot straight. If you follow that advice, you'll be a successful hunter. But the last part really got me thinking. That proud attitude of, "I'm never wrong and I won't back down no matter what," is a message that many people subscribe to in our society today. A brash go-getter attitude is admired and lifted up. Someone who knows what they want and will do whatever they have to do or run whoever they have to over in order to get what they want, that's looked at as admirable. The world will tell you that if you're timid or humble, that if you back down easy, you will never get where you want to go. You have to take the reins of life in a firm grip and steer them where you want to go. Is that the kind of attitude that God, our Heavenly Father, wants His children to have while we are here on earth? Is that the kind of attitude that Peter is describing in our text this morning? You know, it's interesting to look at how Peter first addresses us. He calls us sojourners and pilgrims, but first he calls us beloved. You, beloved of God. This man writing 2,000 years ago is genuinely concerned about you, and that's why he's writing to you. In fact, it says he's begging you. He said, "I beg you." He's pleading. In this section of Scripture in which Peter is telling us to be submissive, he is being submissive to us. Talk about walking the walk. He continues by warning against fleshly lusts, those things the devil is trying to use to keep you from true faith, things like gossip or lust or anger, and especially in this section, pride. These things are at war with your soul, but these things are also temporary. On that day of visitation that he mentioned, we will be changed in the twinkling of an eye because we believe in that salvation of our souls through faith in Christ Jesus. This topic of submission, something that our old Adam really doesn't like, does it? He will fight and tooth and nail in order to get away from this idea of submitting to someone, to being a slave to someone. But look what the Holy Spirit tells us in verse 16. We are to live as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. We need to remember that we already are free. If someone captured you today and made you a slave in, say, a coal mine for the rest of your life, you may be physically in captivity. But our text says you can still live as one who is free, because you are free from sin. Because of what Jesus has done for you, we now have Christian liberty, complete freedom from sin. This is the motivation we have and that we use in our lives for doing these things that Peter mentions, for submitting to the government. Because of what Jesus did for us, because of his submissive act on the cross, how can we not be submissive to the governments that God has set above us? But we should not misuse this liberty for more sin. Rather, we should use it as motivation to submit to God. It can be easy for us to get caught up in these ideas of submitting to the government, to get overly concerned and anxious about, you know, the higher-ups, the way that our country is headed, maybe financial crisis or things like the national debt or the morals of our political leaders and court system. But remember also that God, our Heavenly Father, is the one who set these governments above us, and he works all things for our good, and so we can be assured that he will work those governments for our good as well. Now, he calls for us to submit to those in authority, but he also calls for us to be witnesses to the world. And this is what we do when we submit to those in authority, as Peter tells us to. Remember that we are sojourners and pilgrims here on earth. And so Peter says in verse 12, "Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." When we as believers use that gospel motivation to avoid and abstain from those lusts of the flesh, we are setting ourselves apart from the world. This behavior, this honorable conduct that he mentions, is noticed by the world. It catches their eye because it doesn't make sense to them, because it's otherworldly behavior. They may even speak evil of you at first, but because of their own guilty conscience that is convicting them, they are not acting as they should be. When we do the will of God, that literally puts to silence the ignorance of foolish men. These men see their evil works and know that they aren't living up to the standards that someone has set for them. And on that final day, they will be held in silence when they are asked to give an account for the hope that is in them. That is one of the biggest goals we have in living a pure and decent life in words and actions. It is to serve as a witness to others, so that when they see our good works, they may too glorify God on Judgment Day. What it really reminds me of is the example of the thief on the cross. See, both of these men at first were speaking evil against Jesus. They said, "If you really are God, come down and save yourself and save us as well." But Jesus' good works worked on one of those men. Perhaps they heard when Jesus forgave the men who were putting the nails in his hands. Perhaps they heard when Jesus was taking care of his mother by assigning John the task of taking care of her. Because one of these men saw those good works of Jesus, and he confessed Jesus to remember him when he came into his kingdom, and he will be there with us on that day of visitation in heaven. Pilgrim partners, it was a catchy message that professor used a number of years ago, and I hope it stuck with a number of the students from back then. But it's more than just a catchy message, it's really a way of life for us, because we are pilgrims here on earth, and we are partners walking together that pilgrimage of life. So may we always remember that because of what Jesus did for us on the cross and in his life and in his resurrection, that we are pilgrims and that we are going home. So may we all together submit to the governments and authorities, those set above us, remembering that we are on our way home. And may we witness that faith to others by telling them on the way that each of us is on our way home to heaven. Amen. We'll conclude this morning by singing hymn 660, verses 1 and 2.